Chapter 1 of The War of Antichrist with the Church and Christian Civilization. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Recording by Fred Abood. The War of Antichrist with the Church and Christian Civilization by Monsignor George F. Dillon. Chapter 1. The War of Antichrist with the Church and Christian Civilization. Monsignor Smith, Reverend Fathers, ladies and gentlemen, it gives me indeed great pleasure to find the Catholic body in this great city possessed of such a valuable and, I may add, magnificent block of buildings as that which forms this Catholic Institute, and to know that over 900 of the Catholic young men of Edinburgh are gathered together by its means for mutual improvement and for moral and religious aims. I feel proud of it, as the work of my friend and fellow student, Father Hannon, your respected pastor. I am sure his energies, which have been in other directions, in the erection and sustenance of your extensive parochial schools, for instance, so well employed, could not be afterwards put to better purpose than in forming and watching over such an institution. A Catholic society founded on the spiritual lines of this society and enjoying its advantages in a temporal sense is, in fact, nowadays a necessity. It takes up and protects the Catholic boy at the most perilous and decisive period of his life, that is, when he leaves the employments and restraints of his school days to learn some trade or profession. It keeps him until manhood well removed from those dangerous and seductive associations so common in all large cities. It gives him rational amusement and the means of self-improvement. It causes him to frequent the sacraments, to practice prayer, to be provident, temperate, industrious, and above all, religious. It places him in constant communication with, and therefore under, the special care of his pastor. It is, in fact, the special antidote which our present Holy Father, whom may God long preserve to us, advises the bishops of the Catholic Church to employ throughout the world against the poisonous influence of those secret societies which the demon has rendered so general and so disastrous in our days. Speaking of the operative classes, Leo XIII says, in his celebrated encyclical Humanum Genus of this year, "Those who sustain themselves by the labor of their own hands, besides being by their very condition most worthy above all others of charity and consolation, are also especially exposed to the allurements of men whose ways lie in fraud and deceit. Therefore, they ought to be helped with the greatest possible kindness, and be invited to join societies that are good, lest they be drawn away to others that are evil." Now, these words of the Holy Father came very forcibly to my mind when I was shown, on last Saturday, the fine hall in which we are now assembled, the library and study rooms, and the various means for recreation and improvement attached to this building. I was specially pleased to see so many young men innocently enjoying themselves, or usefully employed, on a day which, of all other days of the week, is the one which most invites the youth of our cities to dissipation and sin. And so it happened that when Father Hannon asked me to say a few words, by which I suppose he meant the lecture advertised in this morning's papers, on this Monday evening, I could not well refuse, and, as the time for preparation was very short, I determined to say the few words on the conflict which, during this and the last century, has taken place between the Church of Christ and atheism. My reason was because I knew that atheism, closely massed and astutely organized, not only has sought but still seeks the destruction of the Church and the destruction of the souls which it is her mission to save. And as the Catholic Young Men's Society of Edinburgh is one of those beneficent associations pointed out by the Vicar of Christ as the special means for defeating the designs of atheism, I believe I cannot do a more appropriate or indeed a greater service than by unfolding what these designs really are. In this, as in all matters of importance, to be forewarned is to be forearmed. And it is especially necessary to be forewarned when we have to contend with an adversary who uses secrecy, fraud, and deceit. We shall see, then, that all the organizations of atheism appear at first, as does their author, Satan, clothed in the raiment of angels of light, with their malignity, their infidelity, and their ultimate designs always most carefully hidden. They come amongst all the faithful, but more especially amongst young men, to seduce and to ruin them, never showing, but when forced to do so, the cloven foot, and employing a million means to seem to be what they are not. It is, therefore, first of all, necessary to unmask them. And this is precisely what the Supreme Pontiff asks the pastors of the Universal Fold to do as the best means of destroying their influence. But, he says in the encyclical already quoted, as it benefits our pastoral office that we ourselves should point out some suitable way of proceeding, we wish it to be your rule, first of all, to tear away the mask from Freemasonry, and to let it be seen as it really is, and by instructions and pastoral letters to instruct the people as to the artifices used by societies of this kind in seducing men and enticing them into their ranks, and as to the depravity of their opinions and the wickedness of their acts. In this extract, the Holy Father makes special mention of Freemasonry, but remember, not of Freemasonry only. He speaks of other secret societies. These other secret societies are identical with Freemasonry, no matter by what name they may be called, and they are frequently the most depraved forms of Freemasonry. And though what is known in these islands as Freemasonry may not be so malignant as its kind is on the continent, though it may have little or no hold at all upon the mass of Catholics in English-speaking countries, still we shall see that, like every secret society in existence, it is a danger for the nation and for individuals, and is hidden within it the same atheism and hostility to Christianity which the worst continental Freemasonry possesses. These it develops to the initiated in the higher degrees, and makes manifest to all the world in time. The truth is that every secret society is framed and adapted to make men the enemies of God and of His Church, and to subvert faith, and there is not one, no matter on what pretext it may be founded, which does not fall under the management of a supreme directory governing all the secret societies on earth. The one aim of this directory is to uproot Christianity and the Christian social order as well as the Church from the world. In fact, to eradicate the name of Christ and the very Christian idea from the minds and the hearts of men. This it is determined to do by every means, but especially by fraud and force. That is, by first using wiles and deceit until the atheistic conspiracy grows strong enough for measures as violent and remorseless in all countries as it exercised in one country during the first French Revolution. I believe this secret atheistic organization to be nothing less than the evil which we have been long warned against by our blessed Lord Himself, as the supreme conflict between the Church and Satan's followers. It is the commencement of the contest which must take place between Christ and Antichrist, and nothing therefore can be more necessary than that the elect of God should be warned of its nature and its aims. With your permission, then, I shall glance tonight first at the rise and the nature of atheism itself, and its rapid advance among those sections of Christians most liable, from position and surroundings, to be led astray by it, and then at the use it has made of Freemasonry for its propagandism and for its contemplated destruction of Christianity. We shall see its depravity perfected by what is called Illuminism, and we shall see that however checked it may have been by the reaction consequent upon the exercises of its first revolution, it has not only outlived that reaction, but has grown wiser for doing an evil more extended and more complete. We shall see how its chiefs have succeeded in mastering and directing every kind of secret association, whether springing from itself or coming into existence by the force of its example only, and have used and are using them all to its advantage. We shall see the sleepless vigilance which this organized atheism exercises, and thus come to know that our best, our only resource, is to fly its emissaries and draw nearer in affection and in effect to the teachings of the Church and her supreme visible head on earth, who can never deceive us and whom the hosts of Satan can never deceive. We shall see that the voice of the Vicar of Christ has been raised against secret associations from the beginning to this hour, and that the directions which we receive from that infallible voice can alone save us from the wiles and deceits of a conspiracy so formidable, so active, so malignant, and so dangerous. End of chapter 1.